It's Saturday, October 27, 2018, from the Blue Ridge Writers 2018 Book and Art Festival in Charlottesville, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shelvin, publisher of AS21 Media, here to bring you the literary news from the final full week of October 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from The Washington Post, Alain Mabankou's novel Black Moses wins 2018 Hurston Wright Fiction Award. Franco-Congolese poet and novelist Alain Mabankou won the 2018 Zora Neale Hurston Richard Wright Legacy Award for Fiction for Black Moses, a novel that follows the journey of an orphan from Luango through a revolution in the Congo to Pointe Noire and the home of a madam with 10 girls, each more beautiful than the last. The judges called the book a funny, efficiently rendered, picturesque tale that superbly traces the hero's psychic collapse. Mabankou, who was born in what is now the Republic of Congo and is now a professor of literature at UCLA, writes about the perils of tyrannical government in a setting that is vivid and engrossing. Mabankou's writing was celebrated during a gala Friday in Northwest Washington, where a ballroom filled with literary stars, including powerhouse publishers, poets, editors, screenwriters, and playwrights, celebrated Black excellence in storytelling in the African diaspora. Also in the news on Sunday from The Bookseller, strong economic case for taking VAT off digital publications, report finds. A report conducted by consultancy Frontier Economics has found a strong economic case for taking the value-added tax off digital publications in the UK as permitted under newly agreed European Union rules. From Law 360, 11th Circuit says Georgia can't copyright state code annotations. The 11th Circuit ruled Friday that the state of Georgia cannot claim copyright ownership over annotations made to its official legal code, ruling that people should have unfettered access to the legal edicts that govern their lives. From Bleeding Cool, Top Dog Comics launches in Augusta, Georgia. We are a full-line comic book and collectible store from Hasbro to Funko to Sideshow. We are direct front with everyone. It also sells sports cards and autograph memorabilia. May not be my neighborhood, but still, welcome. And finally, on Sunday from LitHub, on the impossibility of locating the line between fiction and non. Michelle Belay Jones is tired of answering the same questions.
Monday.
Top story from Reuters. World's largest book sale comes to the Middle East at the giant hangar in Dubai. Our gargantuan touring book sale that touts itself as the world's largest is making its first stop in the Middle East, filling a huge hangar in Dubai with stacks of 3 million discounted books open around the clock. The Big Bad Wolf book sale, launched in Kuala Lumpur in 2009, has since regularly toured Asian cities including Jakarta, Manila, Cebu, Colombo, Bangkok, and Taipei. Organizers hope to attract as many as 300,000 visitors during 11 days in Dubai. Founder Andrew Yap said he expects the sheer number of books will lure in punters. Ruda Al-Mari, an Emirati co-author of A Guide to Life in the UAE, whose own book was on sale at the fair, said a city such as Dubai needed such an event to help spur reading among a tablet generation preoccupied with screens. To hold a book, smell it, to return us to more beautiful days, to throw us into mazes of stories. Every generation needs this, she said. Road trip, anyone? Although, bad wolf. Also in the news on Monday, from the bookseller, Mr. B's crowdfunder smashes original target, looks further. Mr. B's Emporium in Bath has smashed its original crowdfunding target of £45,000 to expand its premises, with the total raise now exceeding £48,500. From Publishers Weekly, historical fiction is hot in Europe. In Germany, Turning Point, the finale of Carmen Korn's Century Trilogy, a historical series about four women in the 20th century, topped the fiction bestseller list in September, and prolific mystery novelist Charlotte Link was in second with The Search, about a missing teen. Italians are enchanted by real life. A Captain, the autobiography of soccer star Francesco Totti, was number one in late September, followed by Now Tell Me About You, Andrea Camilleri's autobiographical letter to his great-granddaughter. Eduardo Mendoza's The King Receives was the best-selling fiction title in Spain. From Deadline, 12th Night-inspired musical TV series with gender identity theme in works at Amazon from Steven Soder and Lauren Gussis. Amazon is developing a contemporary musical television series inspired by Shakespeare's 12th Night. It comes from Spring Awakening Steven Soder, Insatiable creator Lauren Gussis, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend executive producer Mark Webb, and Ryan Seacrest Productions. CBS Studios, where Gussis, Webb, and RSP have had deals, is the studio co-producing with Amazon. And finally, on Monday from LitHub, The Life of the Writer-Musician. Alicia Jo Rabin's asked a dozen creative multitaskers how they do it. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
Listeners to this and other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series are eligible for a free audiobook from Audible. Sign up today at audibletrial.com/AS21 and get your first month on the Audible service for free. That means you get to choose from 180,000 titles and get your first audiobook for free, and once you download it, it is yours forever. This past week, I started my week by listening to A Higher Loyalty by James B. Comey, followed by Mockingjay, the third book in the Hunger Games trilogy by Suzanne Collins, and now I'm getting to counteract The Higher Loyalty by James B. Comey, I'm reading What Happened by Hillary Clinton. And what's up next? I think it's Kurt Vonnegut. It's amazing the things you can find when listening to audiobooks, and you can take your reading with you. You can listen to it on your commute. You can listen to it while you work. Audiobooks can allow you to expand your knowledge base and really get into the classics. So consider signing up for Audible today, audibletrial.com/AS21. Choose from 180,000 titles. Sign up for free for the first month. If you don't like the service, you can quit, but that audiobook you downloaded is yours forever. So consider signing up today, audibletrial.com/AS21.
Tuesday.
Top story from the Des Moines Register. Iowa man burns LGBTQ children's books from public library to protest Pride Festival. The Orange City Public Library said it's exploring legal options after a Northwest Iowa man rented and then publicly burned several children's books Friday. The second annual OC Pride kicked off Friday with a story time for kids, a schedule shows. About an hour before the event, Paul Doerr started a live Facebook video in which he stood near the Prairie Winds Event Center. The 27-minute video ends with Doerr throwing at least four books with LGBTQ themes that he claimed he rented from the public library into a burning trash can. Doerr is the director of Rescue the Perishing, a religious group and website he calls a crisis center and pro-life, pro-family movement. The majority of the live video shows Doerr reading a blog post from a site titled May God and the Homosexuals of OC Pride Please Forgive Us. Doerr declined to be interviewed on Monday. That's going to be one heck of a fine. Also in the news on Tuesday, from the Washington Post, Museum of the Bible in D.C. removes items billed as Dead Sea Scrolls after experts find they are not authentic. The pieces were examined by the Germany-based firm BAM, which tested them and concluded they might not truly be parts of the ancient manuscripts found in the Qumran caves of Israel's West Bank. From the Associated Press, Twitter removes accounts linked to Alex Jones and InfoWars. The ban underscored the difficulty many social media services face in trying to consistently apply their rules against harassment and other bad behavior. It was also likely from the start that Jones and his supporters would find ways to get around Twitter's ban by setting up new accounts or posting from existing accounts that were not part of the initial purge. From the bookseller, Phoebe Kyoto wins the Little Brown Award for Crime Fiction. University of East Anglia creative writing student Phoebe Kyoto has won the 3,000-pound Little Brown Award for Crime Fiction for the manuscript for his shocking and emotional story, Lightseekers. From The Guardian, poet laureate writes sonnet for Danny Boyle's Armistice Day centenary events. The Wound in Time by Carol Ann Duffy was written for commemorations being led by the director at beaches around the UK and Ireland. And finally on Tuesday from LitHub, Lev Grossman, Why We've Always Needed Fantastic Maps, from Narnia to Dungeons & Dragons on the Allure of Imaginary Places. Have you seen the maps Rebecca Head made for the Magnus and the Mating? Aiden? Breathtaking.
Wednesday.
Top story from The Guardian. To Kill a Mockingbird voted top great American read in U.S. poll. To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee's renowned coming-of-age story about racism and injustice in the American South, was voted the U.S.'s best-loved novel by millions of readers as part of a national poll. The Pulitzer Prize-winning book, first published in 1960, topped the U.S. public service broadcaster PBS's Great American Read survey, the results of which were announced on Tuesday. More than 4 million votes were cast in the six-month-long poll. The 100-book shortlist voted on by readers was based on an initial PBS YouGov survey of about 7,200 Americans who were invited to nominate their favorite novel. An advisory panel of experts from the literary industry culled the list to 100 books. Authors were limited to one title or series. Provided the novel was written in English, authors could be from anywhere in the world. To Kill a Mockingbird has sold more than 40 million copies worldwide since its release and remains a fixture on school reading lists. Set in the 1930s U.S. South, it centers on lawyer Atticus Finch and his young children, daughter Scout and son Jim. When Finch defends an African-American man falsely accused of assaulting a white woman, the trial and its repercussions open Scout's eyes to the world around her. Also in the news on Wednesday from the bookseller, Cooper takes inaugural Fitzcarraldo Editions Novel Prize. Writer, broadcaster, and antiques expert Jeremy Cooper has won the inaugural Fitzcarraldo Editions Novel Prize, worth £3,000 for his novel Ash Before Oak. From Digiday, there's nothing easy about social. Weed publishers try to work around digital hurdles. Laws legalizing cannabis are spreading, and with it, products and media companies aimed at the growing market. Still, the excitement is tempered by the frustration they encounter when using big tech to reach an audience and monetize it. From the news at ArtNet, the Art Institute of Chicago is the latest museum to offer open access to thousands of images in its archive. The museum now allows viewers to download its 44,313 images or see them in close detail. From the New York Times, Tina Turner by the book, the singer speaks with the Times about her love of reading. And finally on Wednesday, from LitHub, the psychiatrist who tried to save Sylvia Plath, Paul Alexander on the real Dr. Nolan.
Thursday.
Top story from the New York Times, the coming of age of transgender literature. The Pioneer Valley in western Massachusetts is a cradle of social progress, a place where LGBTQ is often followed by IA for intersex and asexual. There's a Stonewall Center, now 33 years old, and gender nonconforming parents have a nickname of choice. It's Baba. On a maple lined street here in Northampton, in a white gable front house, lives one such Baba, aka Andrea Lawler, a genderqueer novelist and visiting lecturer at Mount Holyoke College. Lawler, who uses the pronoun they, shares the first floor rooms with their girlfriend, their 5-year-old child, and their child's sprawling Lego constructions. The second floor is occupied by Lawler's best friend of 25 years, Jordy Rosenberg, a transgender novelist who teaches 18th century literature, gender and sexuality studies, and critical theory at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Sometimes they call their home a queer commune. Fictional gender benders may be as old as Ovid's Metamorphoses, but recent years have seen a boomlet in transgender literature. In a field previously dominated by memoir and genre fiction, sci-fi, young adult, a number of first novels with more purely literary designs, including playing with genre, are getting attention. It's really exciting to see an emerging crop of trans-related fiction by trans people, said Meredith Tallison, a journalist who writes about LGBTQ issues. It takes a lot of metal to tread narrative terrain without a real tradition and without a lot of cultural support. Also in the news on Thursday from the bookseller, Orwell Foundation to launch Political Fiction Prize. The Orwell Foundation will next month launch a prize to celebrate novels or short stories that illuminate social and political themes through the art of narrative. The Orwell Prize for Political Fiction will be sponsored by the Orwell Estates Literary Agency, A.M. Heath, and George Orwell's son, Richard Blair. From the New York Times, with one strong word, the hate you give couldn't hold its tongue. How do you make a movie about teenagers when the more authentic it sounds, the less likely it is that young people will be able to see it? From Quartz, how the apartheid regime burnt books in their tens of thousands. On the advice of a state librarian, one fine day in the 1970s, a truck transported thousands of books and magazines from Pretoria's Central Police Station to a dark hall at the Iscor State Steel Company, just outside the South African capital. A large mechanical shovel scooped up and dropped them in a 20-meter-high oven, causing it to spew flames and smoke. This was another truckload of material that had been banned for political reasons. It was routinely burned in furnaces across South Africa from 1950s to the 1970s. Chilling. From InfoDocket, new journal article, what is all this fuss about? Is wrong metadata really bad for libraries and their end users? Poor metadata affects libraries' end users despite the efforts of librarians to provide them with the best service by investing in expensive content and discovery systems. The paper covers the main challenges, why this matters, and the impact that inadequate metadata is having, and concluded with some recommendations for stakeholders. And finally, on Thursday from LitHub, the year I stopped reading white people, Jeremy Blanco on the power of writing what you know. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This podcast is brought to you by Simply Learn. Get certified, get ahead. Click on the link in the show notes or visit our page at audio.as41.com and sign up today. Enroll before October 31st and save 25% on all top courses. Get certified as a data scientist, cloud architect, digital project manager, or digital marketing specialist. All the options are there on the All Online. Sign up before October 31st and save 25%. Just use the link in our show notes or on audio.as21.com and save today. Simply Learn. Get certified. Get ahead. Digital economy training, driving innovation and accelerating careers.
Friday.
Top story from LitHub, announcing the 2018 Kirkus Prize winners. At a special ceremony October 25th at the Central Library in Austin, Texas, Kirkus Reviews announced the winners of a fifth annual Kirkus Prize in the categories of fiction, nonfiction, and young readers' literature. This year's winners were chosen from the 1,193 titles that received a starred Kirkus review between November 1st, 2017 and October 31st, 2018. Each winner receives a cash prize of a whopping $50,000, making the Kirkus Prize one of the richest annual literary awards in the world. For fiction, it was Severance by Ling Ma. For nonfiction, Call Them by Their True Names, American Crises and Essays by Rebecca Solnit. And for young readers' literature, Crown, an Ode to the Fresh Cut by Derek Barnes, illustrated by Gordon C. James. What if it starred on October 30th, 2018, which is still a few days away? Oh well. Also in the news on Friday from the bookseller, Waterstones formally completes Foyles' purchase. Waterstones has confirmed that it has completed its acquisition of Foyles, announced in September. Might Barnes & Noble be next? From the Baltimore Sun, book business is strong, especially for indie stores, but rising real estate costs pose threat. Even the troubled times Barnes & Noble suggests a silver cloud, Bookworld is communicating what people want in their physical stores, something local, curated, and appropriate to the place in which it operates. Mass retailing seems inconsistent with what readers want, as anyone who has set foot in one of those bricks-and-mortar Amazon abominations knows. As rosy and wonderful this picture of Bookworld is, there is a threat on the horizon, and we must be vigilant. The potential threat? Real estate. From the Ideological Company, imprint consolidation at big houses is a sign of changed times. On Monday morning, Simon & Schuster became the second major house in a week to announce that it was consolidating two imprints, effectively reducing by one the number of discrete publishing units within the conglomerate empowered to decide what to publish and how to promote it. They folded the Touchstone imprint into Altria and Gallery. Last week, Penguin Random House collapsed their Crown imprint into Random House, sometimes referred to as Little Random. From the Cornell University Roper Center to create world's most comprehensive health opinion database. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation has awarded the Roper Center a $1.43 million grant to construct a health opinion database that will allow researchers, students, media, nonprofits, policymakers, and the public access to tens of thousands of survey questions from 1935 to the present related to the public's attitudes about health and influences on health. From The Hollywood Reporter, Emma Thompson joins How to Build a Girl. Chris O'Dowd has also been cast alongside Beanie Feldstein in the big screen adaptation of Caitlin Moran's best-selling book. And finally on Friday from Quartz, this self-help book is the publishing phenomenon of 2018. Rachel Hollis has written a phenomenon. In February, the food blogger and lifestyle guru released Girl, Wash Your Face, a nonfiction title aimed at helping women overcome their insecurities. The book has now sold almost 800,000 print copies and many more online. It is one of the best-selling new nonfiction books of the decade.
Saturday.
Top story from Quartz. Exit polls show Ireland has voted to remove blasphemy laws from their constitution. Ireland has voted by a significant majority in favor of removing the crime of blasphemy from its constitution, according to exit polls on October 27th. The country voted in a referendum meant to determine whether Parliament should overturn both the 2009 law and a clause in the constitution that prohibits saying or printing blasphemous matter against any religion and makes it a criminal offense punishable by up to €25,000 or $28,532. An exit poll by the Republic of Ireland's national broadcaster RTE showed that 71.1% supported the change, with 26.3% voting against. 1.8% said they had not voted on the blasphemy referendum, and 0.8% said they did not know or refused to indicate which way they voted. Along with the blasphemy referendum, Irish people also voted on their presidential candidate, and early exit polling suggests that the incumbent Michael Higgins won by a landslide. If official results confirm the exit polls, this will be the latest in a series of social and political reforms that have shaken the majority Catholic country in recent years, further weakening the role of religious conservatism there. The country also legalized same-sex marriage in 2015. Last year, elected Prime Minister Leo Varadkar, the son of an Indian immigrant who came out as gay in 2015, and voted in a landslide referendum last May to open a path towards legalization of abortion. Also in the news on Saturday from Global Voices, arrested in Saudi Arabia, and then disappeared, Yemeni writer Marwan Amirazi. More than 4 months after he was arrested, the whereabouts of Yemeni writer Marwan Amirazi remain unknown. He was last seen in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, where he resides. Also from Global Voices, death by bureaucracy, Russian regulators slap independent news site with sky-high fine. The New Times, an independent website and former magazine with a distinctly critical voice, has been slapped with a record fine of 22 million rubles. That's about $334,400 in American money. From the bookseller, the Diagram Prize 2018 shortlist revealed an academic treatise on dung, a how-to guide of acupuncture for horses, and the first ever German language entry are among the 6 books in the running for the 40th edition of the bookseller's Diagram Prize for the oddest book title of the year. From the O'Cool, Ontario University Libraries openly release over 7 decades of historic public opinion polls and guides. Included in the collection are the historical Canadian Gallup polls covering the years 1945 to 2000, held at the Carleton University Mac Odrum Library, and now available for open research reuse via the Odessi Data Portal. Additional polling collections that have been made available include the Canadian Opinion Research Archive, or CORA, at Queen's University, Angus Reid, Ipsos Reid, Ledger Marketing, and Ipsos Canada at Wilfrid Laurier University. From the CBC, here are the finalists for the 2018 Governor General's Literary Awards. The prizes, administered by the Canada Council for the Arts, are awarded in 7 English language categories: fiction, nonfiction, poetry, young people's literature, text, young people's literature, illustration, drama, and translation. 7 French language awards are also given out in the same categories. From the Hindu, Malayalam author Benjamin Jasmine Days wins first JCB Prize for Literature. Benjamin's book, originally written in Malayalam and translated by Shahnaz Habib, is a brilliant and intense novel, said the jury. And finally on Saturday, from The Guardian, Unseen Sylvia Plath's short story to be published in January. Mary Ventura and the Ninth Kingdom was written in 1952, when Plath was still a student in the U.S. We have 2 listener submissions this week. First, from the New York Times, the Dr. Zhivago Nobel Dust-Up. 60 years ago, the Swedish Academy awarded the Russian author Boris Pasternak the Nobel Prize for Literature, but less than a week later, under pressure from the Soviet government, Pasternak rejected the award. The story, which had many twists and turns than a Cold War-era spy novel, played out in the New York Times with one front-page story after another. Also from the New York Times, the ghost story persists in American literature. Why? Literature, the top-shelf, award-winning stuff, is positively ectoplasmic these days, crawling with hauntings, haints, and wraiths of every stripe and disposition. And it's not just because Halloween's next week. We'll be right back after this message with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer and our home report.
This episode is sponsored by...
DC PodFest 2018 is coming up on November 9th and 10th at Spaces the Artisphere in Arlington, Virginia. DC PodFest is a 2-day event held each fall where podcasters from around the world gather to learn, network, and express their passion for podcasting. Friday night, it's a VIP session where you get to meet all of the presenters. Then Saturday, it's a day full of panel discussions plus one-on-one sessions with me, Keith Shovlin of AS21 Media. Sign up today at dcpodfest.com. Tickets are still available. And then come on down to Spaces the Artisphere in the Rawson neighborhood of Arlington on November 9th and 10th. And power to the podcast. That's dcpodfest.com.
Hello, this is Fiona the AOS 21 Computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 20th of October. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Every Breath by Nicholas Sparks. Hardcover fiction number 1, Every Breath by Nicholas Sparks. Paperback trade fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Killing the Essays by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Duggard. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, Shade by Pete Souza. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Young adult hardcover number 1, The Hit You Give by Angie Thomas. And from Publishers Weekly, sales for the week ending the 21st of October supplied by NPD Books and top 10 overall number 1, The Wonky Donkey by Craig Smith and Kat Cowley. Top hardcover frontlist fiction number 1, Every Breath by Nicholas Sparks. Top hardcover frontlist nonfiction number 1, Ship of Fools by Tucker Carlson. Top trade paper frontlist number 1, The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. Top mass market frontlist number 1, Fall from Grace by Danielle Steele. Top children's frontlist fiction number 1, Dog Man, Lord of the Fleas by Dav Pilkey. The Wonky Donkey is back on top. Do you think the New York Times isn't so entranced? Now back to Keith for the Home Report.
Thank you, Fiona. Now for the Home Report. This past week, we announced the contributors for the 5th and final AS21 annual. Visit as21.com/annual for more information. AS21 merchandise is now available on tpublic.com. The direct-to-garment retailer features designs from several AS21 podcasts and titles. Visit the new store today by clicking the link at as21.com or visit tpublic.com/store/as21-market. Look out, there might soon be some pretty cool Literary This Week t-shirts. AS21 Audio has renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now. Visit surveys.as21.com and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and entered for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also, take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, or whatever podcast service you're listening to, and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience and can also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing? Leave 5 stars and a short review. Not so much? Leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. We're not going to be like some other podcasts that say don't leave a review if you don't like us. We appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast series. Looking back on this past week, on Monday, It's Not Even Past returned with a new episode as host Evan Tucker takes a journey through literature in the first of a multi-part review. Find It's Not Even Past on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Saturday is the Blue Ridge Writers 2018 Book and Arts Fair in Charlottesville, Virginia. Yay! We are recording live audio for this podcast in addition to the next edition of the Publish Me podcast. Be on the lookout as we will feature author interviews both as part of the regular Publish Me podcast episode, but throughout the month as we celebrate National Novel Writing Month 2018. Visit events.as21.com for more information about upcoming festivals and fairs. In the week ahead, we'll be announcing details about an upcoming release from AS21 Publishing. To find out early, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. Early in the week, History of the Symphony will return as host Evan Tucker releases the next lesson from his class at Grace Methodist Church in Baltimore. Find History of the Symphony on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. On Wednesday, the lovely ladies of Two Girls, One Joint will be back as they take another walk on the wild side. Find Two Girls, One Joint on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. November starts Thursday, which means Friday night will be First Friday at Walls of Books in Washington, D.C., so we once again sponsor Literary Game Night. Come on out to Parkview as we play some literary-focused games with the community. Visit wallsofbooksdc.com for more information. If you still want to come in costume, why not? As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Remember, you can support this and the other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series on Patreon. Support today starting at just $1 a month and you'll get access to a creative-only blog with news directly from our creators, special episodes of some of the podcasts you love, and other wonderful special gifts. Go to patreon.com/AS21 and become a patron of the arts today. Also remember, you can sponsor this and the other AS21 podcasts through AdvertiseCast. We have various rates available, ranging from 15 seconds up to a minute, as well as special bonuses such as postings on AS21 Twitter account and our Facebook pages. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. We are now available on Spotify, so welcome to all Spotify subscribers as they listen today. Otherwise, you can find our podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?